It's the same energy they have for me.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And I'm going to have the same energy for them.
I ain't having it. I will just say this one last thing on Kyrie Irving.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He did shut them up.
Irving's got a three on the way. Down for Kyrie Irving.
You shut them up with your play.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Rams linebacker Bobby Wagner. Still to come, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. Plus Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We just said farewell to Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
He was here for a good half-hour-long chat in hour
awesome.
Number one.
Yeah. Like that guy.
And he talked about his departure from the Seahawks and how he kind of gleaned it was coming. And when he said the front office to find out if he was actually being cut, and they said, why don't you come in? And he's like, I kind of get it. Then you're cutting me. And why come in to find this stuff out? He said he was out of town.
Yeah, why get on a plane to go back to Seattle when they were just going to release him? Yeah.
He also said Russell Wilson came up to him before everything went down to ask him about his thoughts on playing in Denver. So all that's happening while Pete Carroll's at the Combine saying they have no intention of trading. And they had every intention of trying to keep him. And Russ is asking Bobby Wagner, what do you think about Denver?
Hey, I'm going to buy this $25 million
house.
Yeah, I've
got four beds, 12 baths. We can have one for you.
A bathroom, not a bedroom.
Right.
No, definitely not a bedroom. Maybe the guest house.
Yeah. The pool room.
And now he's here in Los Angeles, California. And another one of my favorite exchanges with Bobby was him saying, because he represents himself, he mass texted a bunch of general managers to say, I'm available. Let's talk. And he didn't hear back immediately because a bunch of GMs were like, probably calling up somebody within their front office saying, can you confirm this is Bobby Wagner's number? You know, it was like a new phone who dis sort of exchange with Bobby Wagner. And he said he spoke to one general manager, said, sorry I didn't get back to you sooner, but I had to confirm this was really you.
Yeah. Good story.
You know, if you missed anything, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for the full conversation. I asked him if he thought DK Metcalf was going to stick around, and he basically said, I don't know. And that's where we are here now, 9 days before the draft. Look, folks, a team 9 days before the draft has a plan on who they like in the draft. They are going to be gaming out the draft nonstop between now and the actual go time on Thursday. Baker Mayfield not at the Browns facility today to start the offseason workout program. Deshaun Watson showed up, and there'll be news like Baker's not coming. And it's like, yeah, what do you think? Like, did you not see him on that couch with the dog who wanted a belly scratch and everything going on in his head? What, do you think he's going to show up with Deshaun Watson there? No. And the conversation for anybody who wants Baker Mayfield right now is you call the Browns, you already have called the Browns, or you're thinking of calling the Browns, and you're hearing what the Browns are asking for. And or what the Browns are offering. What do you mean by that? Well, the Browns have to eat part of Baker's salary. And to me, somebody sitting there thinking, I am going to draft this quarterback if he is available. I love that kid. Like his tape, like his film, like his attitude, like his personality when we interviewed him, when we had him in for a visit, or we saw him at the combine, all of that, or both. And if that guy is available, they would rather have that guy and 4, if not potentially 5 years of contractual control and 3 years of a salary that you can definitely afford. And if he overplays his salary, do you give him a new deal after year 3? The Bills say yes. The Cardinals are like, you know, hey, hang on a second. We'll get to you. And the Browns were like, with their guy, now we're not doing it. And now that guy went from entering year four off of a playoff win and exiting year four again on a podcast couch with a dog looking for a belly scratch. So teams have to make this decision. How much would the Browns eat? Is Baker Mayfield a better quarterback than that kid that we're drafting? Sure, he's got more experience. Sure, he's got more a game that's NFL ready. But we like this kid, and we'd rather go with that kid and grow him from scratch and get him in our system rather than somebody who's got a chip on his shoulder, yes, and we could win with, sure, just 1 year of contractual control. And then who the heck knows? Why would we do that when we can start from scratch and get this kid in and so on and so forth? That's the decisions going on right now for a quarterback. Now then, the wide receiver market is of note for the moment. Because there are three terrific wide receivers. Three terrific wide receivers that are on their walk years because they did not get drafted in the first round. The teams do not have a fifth year of contractual control on them. One of them is somebody we just talked about with Bobby Wagner and DK Metcalf. Do you think he's going to go? He's like, I don't know. They'd be silly to let him go. Yeah. But after this year, he would either need to be franchise tag or given a big-time contract, or you give it to him now. You give it to him now. And the free agent market for the wide receiver group, through the roof, because Devontae Adams got his deal and Stephon Diggs got his deal and Tyreek Hill got traded and got his deal. And those guys made the new contract as part of their acquisition for a new team, or in Stephon Diggs's case, the Bills are just taking care of everybody and they're ready to roll best they can. And so these young wide receivers are either making some noise saying I'm not showing up, or they want their new contract. And what do? You look to the gram, as you see in this day and age, or in the case always of AJ Brown of the Tennessee Titans. His Twitter feed, he sent out this tweet yesterday. I'm a diva and a bad teammate all of a sudden. LOL, okay, do what you have to do then, and so will I. Now, who's that
who's he talking to?
Yeah. Is he talking to fans who are upset with him for wanting a new deal? And we'll get to that in a second. Is he talking to somebody in management who is saying something to his agent? Or he's hearing something that's out there. Because you take a look at his Twitter feed later on in the day, and he removes Tennessee from his bio.
Hey. Oh,
now, we've looked to the gram, right? And he still's got photographs of himself there, right?
As of an hour.
And everybody, like, this is a silly game. It is a silly game.
Very.
Yeah.
But hilarious.
But it is a sign of disgruntlement, and disgruntlement can lead to anger and lead to holdouts and lead to breakups and lead to demanding this and demanding that. But these receivers that I'm talking about, DK and AJ Brown and also Deebo Samuel, really don't have the cards. Leverage business, folks. It is a leverage junkie league. You either have it or you don't. If you don't have it, you need to seek it out. And the leverage these guys have might be, you know, doing this to their Twitter account or saying they're not showing up for work until they get paid. And then they won't get paid when the games get played. In Tennessee, though, A.J. Brown has a very important person who loves him. That's his head coach. Mike Vrabel was on this show the other day. Remember I asked him about potentially trading away AJ Brown. There are rumors that they don't want to pay him all this money. Think about it. Tyreek Hill is now making, what, $30 million a year, and the average per year, the argument about what DeAndre Hopkins' contract was and really is or isn't may not be based on inflated annual rates, blah, 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 stuff that only Bobby Wagner, I guess, understands. Mm-hmm. But that thing's moot now. There's the bar's been set higher. This is what Mike Vrabel had to say about trading A.J. Brown. Is A.J. Brown on the trade block, Mike Vrabel?
As long as I'm the head coach. I love AJ professionally, personally. You know, I've gotten to know him well as his coach, and enjoy, you know, seeing him as much as I possibly can. So as long as I'm the coach here, I would want to have AJ Brown on my football team.
So that's what Mike Vrabel has to say. And the reason why I started with quarterbacks and I talked about the wide receivers, I want to bring it full circle, is because in the quarterback world, if you have somebody that you draft and they are absolutely outstanding and terrific and generationally talented, very rarely are you going to go ahead and just throw that guy back into the free agent pool and start again at the quarterback spot. We still have yet to see that, right? We still have yet to see somebody say, we love you, we think you're terrific, but we're swapping you out because we don't want to pay you all that money. You're going to eat up all of the cap. We'd rather just start again and see how it goes and win in that first year, second year, third year, first contract. That's the jackpot. That's what the Chiefs got out of Mahomes. That's what the Seahawks got out of Russell Wilson. That's the jackpot. We have yet to see that happen. We have seen them abandon the guys that they've drafted because they don't feel that he's the right guy anymore. Goff, Wentz, Baker Mayfield's that guy right now. Darnold already with the Jets. We've seen that. And now we've also seen a quarterback who's told the team, you wait. I'll get around to asking for the bag in Lamar Jackson and a guy who might be holding out in Kyler Murray because for some reason the Cardinals say we'll take care of you, but just not right now. I bring that up because that's the quarterback market. Wide receivers, different story. We're going to find this out because Devontae Adams didn't get paid in year four like the way that these guys are looking to get paid right now. This is an interesting aspect of it. Let's see, because there's a ton of good wide receivers in the draft right now. And one way to back things up, if A.J. Brown is going to hold out on you or Deebo Samuel is going to hold out on you or whatever's going on, if you want to trade away D.K. Metcalf, just get another one. Now, these guys are unicorns, but we'll see how the wide receiver market is valued. I just will say this for Brown and Deebo and also D.K. Metcalf. I will say this to the fans out there who might be upset if A.J. Brown was in fact referring to fans saying that he's a diva and a bad teammate and all of that stuff. And Deebo Samuel taking to his social media accounts to say he's gotten death threats from fans. For those fans who do that sort of thing, who the hell are you? Think about that. Who the hell are you? I know you love your team. I know you're a diehard fan or something like that. But to threaten somebody for trying to get the leverage that they don't have in a leverage junkie league, you would do the exact same thing if you were in a leverage junkie business. And you probably are working in that business. Who are you to give somebody a death threat? And if you're a fan of this show, unfollow us. I don't care. And you're not supposed to be in a business like that telling fans to go away. These guys deserve every penny they think they should get. They have worked their asses off. And Deebo Samuel, more than anybody else, takes the hits. Problem is, though, for him and A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf and every other wide receiver. Justin Jefferson is going to go through this at some point. And Ja'Marr Chase will go through this at some point. And the question is there going to be pushback from the market? Or will the market change in the same way that we're seeing quarterbacks now get $40 million a year like it's nothing? And soon $50 million a year will be like it's nothing. Will the wide receiver market now be filled with guys getting paid like Devontae Adams, like Stephon Diggs, like Tyreek Hill after just 3 years? That's what's happening right now. That's the push-pull happening right now at the wide receiver market. And 9 days from now, we'll have a lot to do with what we see. We'll see who gets drafted and who doesn't, by which teams. But I don't blame these guys for trying to get theirs. I just don't know. This is a whole new thing. In the same way we haven't seen it before with Lamar Jackson telling a team, you know, wait, I'll get around to asking you for the money I know I can get right now and that you want to give me. Wide receivers now, after year three, are seeing what guys after year six, seven, eight, getting paid, saying, I want it now after year three. And I don't know if NFL teams are going to give it to them. That's what's at play. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings is going to join us. And before he does, what a fascinating journey he's had to being the HC of the Vikings. Drafted by the Patriots in 08.
Correct.
He was a rookie in the year Brady blew his knee out.
Yeah, he was on.
How was that about? So you probably, do you think Brady was even in the quarterback room then?
Probably not.
Right?
Because Bill is one of those guys, when you're hurt, you're not even really on the team.
Third round pick, he watched Castle do his thing.
Yep.
And it was the only, he went, I think, 2 for 4 in one game. And that's the only professional stats he had as a quarterback.
Wow.
Because he became the first Patriot casualty in a very long line of Patriot quarterback casualties. Suffered because the Patriots signed Brian Hoyer as a free agent. An undrafted free agent, Hoyer in, out goes O'Connell,
hey,
who bounced around, wound up with the Jets, wound up after no longer playing anymore. Mike Pettine was the one who hired him as a coach for the first time. Pettine was the DC in New York when O'Connell was there.
Wow.
And that's off you go. He was an offensive assistant in San Francisco for the one Chip Kelly year. And then he goes to Washington, D.C., where his quarterback the first year was a quarterback coach is Kirk Cousins. Who's his quarterback right now? This just in? Same guy.
Hey, now.
And then, of course, he's hired off of the Rams staff where he went after Ron Rivera came in and changed things around in Washington.
Yeah, Rich, he's only 36.
He's a young guy. He's one of those Sean McVay disciples, if you will. And also, with him getting the job, meant my guy stayed at Michigan. So much to talk about with Kevin O'Connell. Next, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Back here on the program, Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings is going to step out of the, I guess, their draft war room and call us. That's where we're expecting a call from him before Arthur Smith of the Atlanta Falcons will call us on the program.
Oh, then I have something to bring up.
What do you got?
I didn't want to cut you off before in the last segment. You're talking about wide receivers and how, you know, we've kind of never seen this before. Do you think, or maybe just a question, who would you rather pay? Because we've seen giving big money to running backs really hasn't worked out all that too well for those teams. I'm sure Dallas might regret what they gave Zeke. And you know, we saw Todd Gurley, some of these other backs, Christian McCaffrey. Do you think the wide receiver market's going to go in that direction, or
that's the crossroads? That's what I don't know.
Yeah,
I do not know. Like, maybe that's something we can have one of our general manager friends come on and explain to us, because this is where we are at. Because prior to the last couple of years, the wide receiver market did not explode like right. we have just seen it explode, okay? Where the premium has been was paid only to the top one, two wide receivers in their, what, second contract, right?
But even then,
third
like,
contract.
Who were really those guys?
Well, I mean, even like Devontae Adams got paid by the Packers, but now he's been pizzed.
Right.
Right? DeAndre Hopkins pizzed when he got to the Cardinals. Who else is somebody that got big time over the top $20 million a year money, right? Now it's 30. Like, this is now the way it goes. And look, the cap goes up, and so does the money going into the cap. But the question is now you've got receivers, second, third rounders, who have proven that they can be game-changing in this league, and important players and physical players as well. It's not just somebody that's going to get blown up. I mean, Tyreek Hill is kind of an outlier here in being a smaller, fast guy.
And guys like DK and AJ Brown, they weren't first-round picks. So
that's what I'm saying. Neither is DK Metcalf. It's faster. Sooner, it's right. now happening. Yeah. Right, Justin Jefferson, there's a fifth year of contractual control. Right. But I'm sure he's watching and his agent's watching to see these receivers after year three, if they get paid. Justin Jefferson can say, well, those guys in year three got paid. I want my money now.
And I've put in better numbers.
But the Vikings' response would be, there's a fifth year of contractual control that we have. And this whole fifth year of contractual control got set up by the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. This whole rookie scale, if you will, and system got set up in 2011, born out of the fact that teams didn't want to pay players in the top five picks of a draft the most money they've ever paid any player in the history of their franchise, just because they balled out in college. They don't want to be on the hook for all that money if Jamarcus Russell busts, is essentially the way that thing got turned. So that quarterback situation and top of the draft situation got changed in 2011. And now we're seeing 10 years later the ramifications of it for players at the wide receiver position, because that's now exploded. That's why I wanted to talk about it. It's really fascinating to me how that's working out. And we'll see how the market handles it 9 days before the draft. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Joining me on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line for the first time here on this show, he's the new head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He's Kevin O'Connell. How are you doing, Kevin?
Rich, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. How are you getting ready for your first draft as an HC in the NFL? What's up with that?
Oh, you know what? It's the way the schedule works out, you're getting ready for that while also, you know, installing your systems and meeting with the players in the building. So these days are full, but we got a great process. Kwesi's done an unbelievable job kind of laying out, how we want to go about this process collectively. And coaching staff came in and really embraced, you know, kind of getting to know these prospects and how we want to really play on offense and defense, and how any potential guy we would pick kind of fits into that. And it's an ongoing process. You know, we still have a few days here. We got more players coming in on their 30 visits, and the whole thing has been a positive experience so far. But as we get down closer to it, you know, we'll get locked in and feel really good about where we're at.
Have you had your first moment ever pounding the table for a defensive player in one of these meetings, Kevin?
You know what? I thinking back on it, I may have a couple times. Especially,
okay.
It's funny as you start really thinking about it. Being a former quarterback, I tend to really look at those guys that hit the quarterback a
lot. Yes, sir.
And those guys seem to jump off the tape to me. But whether it's rushers or linebackers on the second level, DBs, I mean, there's a lot of really, really good players in this draft. And, a lot of players that can really help us and fit into what we're trying to do.
I love talking to people about journeys and their journeys, and yours is fascinating to me. Did you get a call from Bill Belichick on draft day back in 2008, Kevin O'Connell?
I did.
What was that like?
Yeah, he, you know, it was about 8 to 10 picks before, you know, before my name got called, and it was back then. That was back when the draft took place pretty early on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
You know, when that Sunday round started, the third round, I think California might have started at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I was up, kind of. Obviously didn't sleep all that much the night before, and then the first voice I heard on the phone the next day was Coach Belichick, and asking me you know, some final questions before they pulled the trigger. And what an opportunity it was for me to go there and be around some of the people, players and coaches that I got to be around. It really started kind of my football journey, like you talked about, that you know, finds me here as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah,
so each and every part of the process was, you know, I feel like it helped me. I feel like it put me kind of in the best possible place I could be to be where I'm at now, where my feet are planted. And, you know, I'm very, very thankful for my time there, obviously.
Sure. And so you were there as a rookie, and then Brady blows his knee out, right? You were there for that whole situation?
First game, yep. Absolutely. And we, at the time, you know, Matt Cassel and myself, we weren't entirely sure who was going to go in the game. And then, you know, Matt gets his number called and goes in the game, and what a season he had, and to be there kind of every step of the way with Matt, and obviously being around a great coach like Josh McDaniels and so many of the great players we had on offense and defense that year. It really, I mean it when I say it. I mean, my football journey wouldn't be what it has been, and I don't know if I'm sitting here without, you know, some of the principles and things that I learned through my time there. Albeit it was short, I wish it would have been a lot longer, yeah, to be honest with you. But you know, getting to transition from being a part of that organization to the New York Jets and have some success there and see things done completely differently, you know, kind of shaped to, you know, like I said, it shaped who I am as a coach today through those experiences.
And so before we get to the here and now a little bit, I imagine, did you not have that much interaction with Brady because he was out with the knee injury, or what was your exposure to Brady in any way, shape, or form back in that day?
Yeah, I've always had, you know, so much respect for how he treated me as a rookie, when obviously through the offseason, post-draft, and into training camp, and then obviously the injury happens, you know, and that was a big deal when Tom had been under center for so many years in a row and so many snaps in a row at that point, and then to obviously, you know, he goes off and he's handling his rehab and doing what he needs to do to make sure he was able to come back that next season. But the second he was able to, he was back in the building, you know, supporting Matt in the quarterback room again. And I just remember there was no question that I couldn't ask that he wouldn't, you know, put some time and thought into answering and really cared about the things he shared, you know, about the position, about playing the game, about leadership, all those things that make him, you know, the greatest to ever do it. You know, you get to be around that on a daily basis. You'd be crazy to not absorb as much as you can. But you know, I kind of lived by the golden rule of making sure that I was definitely seen and not heard very much when Tom was in that room, and there was a lot to be learning on my end as a young player.
Kevin O'Connell, the new head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then when your playing career is over, you get into coaching. Mike Pettine hires you in Cleveland. Did you know him from the Jets days? Is that how you got on his radar screen, and vice versa?
Kevin? I did. That's exactly right. So okay. He was the defensive coordinator when I was with the Jets. And, you know, the one thing I was able to do transitioning from New England to the Jets is, you know, I was able to kind of go down the hall and spend some time with those defensive coaches. And it's amazing, you know, the impact you can have even as a second or third quarterback just by walking down the hall and, you know, knowing some things about the opponent and how they protect and maybe how they, you know, how they like to play, and understanding, you know, maybe an impact you can have, or at least the slightest little, you know, a little bit of input you can have on a game plan when you're playing against a team like that. I felt like, you know, I was going to do whatever I could to help our team win, and whether that was in the quarterback room with Mark Sanchez or that was down the hall with the defensive coaches, every player, you know, in this league just wants to have an impact to help their team win. And at that time, my impact wasn't going to be on the field, so I tried to do whatever I could, you know, with those guys. And with that, not only with, you know, Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan, but that whole defensive staff, there were some real strong relationships that got formed. And, you know, I've kept up with a lot of guys, you know, from that staff to this very day, and including Mike Pettine, who's now our assistant head coach here.
That's it. Isn't that amazing, man, how it all works out? And especially since you wind up in Washington as a quarterback's coach, and your first quarterback when you were there is Kirk Cousins, and look who's your guy now. It's really, it's crazy how this stuff works.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, I was only able to be around him that one season in 2017. But
right.
Yeah, you know, he actually signed a jersey for me, and you know, I had it up on my wall at home, and he had kind of, you know, he had kind of left a message on there basically saying that he hoped our paths crossed again at some point. So I never knew it would be like this, and didn't know it would be in Minnesota as his head coach, but really excited I get to coach him again.
Well, then let's get into that right here, because, you know, I'm sure the narrative being discussed is Cousins definitely in the Hall of Fame for his contracts and his guaranteed money. But his play is yet to rise to the level of championship quality in a consistent manner. How do you think Kirk Cousins, or why would you think Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl quarterback, and you just saw one directly in front of you blossom from the NFC North in a new situation? I'd love to give you the floor on that subject matter, Kevin.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that really resonated with me, you know, when you come in as a new head coach and you start hiring coaches that you have, you know, in some cases previous relationships with, and in other cases you're just trying to hire the best possible staff that you can. And I feel really good about the staff that I was able to hire from a, you know, leadership standpoint, but also as, you know, just a football intellect and understanding of playing this game at a high level. And the one thing that resonated, like I said, was having those guys turn on the tape. And, you know, man for man on our coaching staff say, hey, we got a pretty good quarterback here. When you just look at the tape and you look at the way he's played, our staff and obviously myself, it's one of the huge reasons why I was so excited about the opportunity here was, you know, his ability to play winning football shows up on the tape. And I think, you know, no matter what Kirk's kind of done from a record standpoint in his career, when you just break it down to play in and play out, his ability to execute the offense, we're going to run here, how we're going to build it for the quarterback here and really take advantage of his skill set. You know, I'm excited about it. You know, we're a few days away from being able to get on the grass with our guys for the first time and really start building our offensive system. But Kirk's been great in meetings. He's been great kind of leading the charge with that group. And I'm excited to see how it all looks when we get going here.
Well, when you install your offensive system, what do you think Cousins brings to the equation that you know he can operate it to a championship level, a consistently championship level?
Coach. Yeah, I think he, you know, the one trait that I know that is very, very important for the quarterback position is you got to be accurate with the football. And I think Kirk has proven throughout his career he's an accurate thrower of the football, both, you know, from what I like to call an NFL pocket, which is when guys are getting hit, there's things going on around him. Kirk will stand in there, keep his eyes up, and deliver the football accurately and consistently. He's an incredibly tough player. I mean, he's been in the game snap in and snap out for the better part of his whole career. He's incredibly durable. And with that becomes, you know, a whole lot of experience that he's been able to gain and build upon throughout his time as a starting quarterback in this league. And I think, you know, with where he's at currently and really where he wants to go, he's really motivated to kind of take that next step. And I know he's excited about what we're doing offensively, and it's very much in its infant stages of, you know, kind of what it's going to look like. But I think he can feel already our ability to put him in a system where, you know, he can – you do his job on a snap-in and snap-out basis, and if he's doing it at the high level that I think he will, I think he'll elevate the other 10 guys that are in the huddle with him. And we've got some really good players in that huddle with him. He doesn't have to feel the pressure to do it all on his own. But we want him to lead our group, and I'm going to be right there with him.
Well, what are your two cents on the quarterback one below the depth chart, on below Cousins on the depth chart, and Kellen Mond, your predecessor? Mike Zimmer, when asked before week 18 in a game that didn't mean anything in the standings, whether he would play or they wanted to get a chance to see him. He said, not particularly. I see him every day. And everybody took that to mean like maybe this kid that they drafted high wasn't either ready or couldn't play in the NFL. What are your two cents on that subject matter?
Yeah, I have not seen Kellen on the field. So that's first things first is I want to get on the field with all of our players and, you know, see those guys. He's been great in meetings so far or in the early stages here. But, you know, I obviously study the quarterbacks every year coming out in the draft, and, you know, like I've had to do for a few years now. And I just remember watching a guy that was, you know, there's a talented skill set there from a passing standpoint, athleticism. He had some real success there at A&M, and I think anytime you look at a guy after 1 year in the NFL and even through the process, of a rookie year, I think it's, you know, I speak from experience when I say that, I wish I wasn't judged solely upon my rookie year, as a quarterback in this league, because I felt like I improved and I felt like I grew mentally and became a better potential player for the teams that I played for. I never really got to get on the field again after that, and you know, that's a huge regret of mine. But you know, one of the things I want to make sure that I do is give all of our players, and Kellen's absolutely included in that, the chance to come in here and work hard every single day, you know, to do the things we're asking from a big picture standpoint, a culture standpoint, a team building standpoint. But then on an individual standpoint, Rich, I want Kellen to come in here and feel like he can embrace our offense and be the best possible version of himself as a quarterback in this league. And that's a minute-to-minute process. And once we get on the grass, we'll be able to really see where he's at. And then most importantly, how we can coach him up to reach that highest potential that whatever that may be for Kellen, we're going to be doing everything we can to help him get there.
All right. Before I let you go, Kevin, I'm assuming you've done, what, maybe a dozen interviews similar to this one or on a program like this one since you've taken over the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, right? What would you say? Is that an accurate number?
Yeah, I've definitely done a few, I've been waiting for the call from the Rich Eisen Show.
I appreciate that.
Make it work.
No, I appreciate that. I'm going to toot my own horn here. Is this the longest an interviewer has gone with you without bringing up the name Sean McVay? Is this the longest anyone's gone? What do you think?
I think it's about 10 minutes longer than anyone else has gone.
So I've been bursting at the seams.
You absolutely get you get the credit for that, but now I can't miss my opportunity to talk about Sean and his great influence on me, because I absolutely couldn't say anything but wonderful things about him as a leader over the last couple of years, getting to be around him as a play caller. It had, absolutely the most impact on me and why I'm sitting in the chair I am today.
Okay. I mean, do you need a get-back coach like he has one? I mean, like, how are you going to be like McVay? You're going to call 15 plays at once and throw them all on your quarterback? You're going to talk real fast? I mean, what do we got here? What do you think
I've definitely got some ideas in store, but, anymore nowadays, the get-back coach, they look a heck of a lot better in the game day attire than I do. So
okay.
I know Sean likes to still lift some weights and keep himself in good shape nowadays. So that get-back coach, I've always joked with him, he needed to be careful about how many times he was pulling him back on that sideline.
He was yoked.
He might turn around and push you back one of these times. But I will not be doing that. Hopefully I'll stay off the field and stay out of the way of the players that belong on the field, because I've long ago proved that I did not belong on that field. So now I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm loving it.
And then what was your perspective on the drive that everyone's going to be talking about here in Los Angeles forevermore, where Stafford and the fourth down call and going with the run with Kupp, and then that no-look pass to Kupp, and then Kupp 19 times with all those flags he finally got in the end zone? What was that perspective for you in that final drive of the Super Bowl championship, Kevin?
Yeah, I think I give the Bengals a lot of credit, because they made some things hard on us that day, and obviously they were prepared to try to take away a lot of the things that we were able to have success with throughout the year. But tons of credit to obviously Sean and our coaching staff, and then Matthew and Cooper and the rest of our guys on offense for going and overcoming a lot on that drive, overcoming a lot in that game to go get that ball in the end zone. And it really didn't matter how we did it. I just knew that with that guy playing quarterback for us and with Cooper Kupp able to make the plays that he did. And there was a lot of other plays in that drive that that people may not, you know, remember guys in that huddle making plays. I mean, Bryson Hopkins catching a ball, a couple balls there to extend drives. I mean, unbelievable performance by the offensive line. We essentially dropped back and threw it 12, 13 times on that drive, and those guys protecting against a really good front. And it was an absolute battle, but that's how that game's supposed to be, and it made it that much more worthwhile to kind of celebrate that thing after not only we got it in the end zone, but then Aaron Donald and the guys on the other side got that stop.
Yeah, I mean, the offense with Stafford and Kupp set the bar very high for Cousins and Jefferson, but you guys got that. That's a connection right there that I'm sure you can exploit, and I look forward to watching that, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Rich.
You got it. And since you said you've been looking for this call, that means you have to look for multiple ones. So you just kind of walked into that standing invitation.
There you go. You just let me know when.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. Enjoy your first draft.
I appreciate it.
You got it. That is Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll kind of sift through a lot of that stuff and see what you guys think before Arthur Smith joins us from the Falcons when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I guess if you're going to give Kirk Cousins yet another crack at this team and extend him with yet more guaranteed dollars that pays him like the Super Bowl championship quarterbacks get paid, right? Or people who you think can win Super Bowls get paid. I guess if you're going to do that, the idea of having the head coach be the guy in his ear, in his face, in his meeting room, in the film, and being somebody who's known him since 2017 and has an autographed jersey from him saying maybe we'll meet down the road at some point. And as we all know, his departure from Washington to Minnesota was sparked by two franchise tag years. As a matter of fact, that's when Kevin O'Connell showed up, was in Kirk Cousins' second and final franchise tag year in Washington, D.C. I guess the guy you want to hire as your head coach is somebody who just won a Super Bowl, having been on the staff of a guy who has now become, what, the modern-day coachmaker, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants them. Sean McVay.
They get head jobs.
Correct. Okay. McVay was with Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur, and those guys Zach Taylor from the Rams staff takes the Bengals to the Super Bowl. You want to take somebody from that staff? Brandon Staley has got the Chargers in a spot now that I think the Chargers are in a very good spot right now.
Oh, you had them, what, number three?
Four on my top five teams in the AFC. Correct. Yeah. And I guess you take somebody from that staff who knows Kirk Cousins and can bring an offense that he is bringing from the Rams that you plugged in a longtime NFC North quarterback into. And tons of throwing yards and tons of, you know, W's in the NFC North, but no significant W's. No primetime W's. Shying away in big game W's.
Keep going.
Have I described Matthew Stafford in a way, right?
Yeah.
Prior to the year, even in the middle of last year when the Rams had that midseason swoon.
All right, that's
right. Right when the Titans came in and spanked them around.
That's fair.
With Adrian Peterson at running back. Everyone's like, yeah, Stafford still can't win the big game, middle of a season. And then he's now a Super Bowl champion with a new contract and an AT&T commercial talking about his victories.
Great commercial.
I agree. It's a funny one.
Kirk had a good year last year.
This is why you go in this direction.
He had 33 touchdowns and only 7 picks.
So that's why you go in. The Cousins' MO is 100% can wing it around. You like that. All of that stuff can get you 4,000 yards, can get you a lot of touchdowns. But when it's time to win a game against Aaron Rodgers, see ya.
Yeah, right?
More often than not.
I know Trey said yesterday that, you know, wins and losses is not a quarterback stat, but you want to guess what Kirk's career record is?
500, right?
59-59-2.
Yeah, yeah, so right there. Yeah.
Average.
Average.
So you're going to bring a guy in who comes from a staff that has just churned out one dynamic young coach after another and has just won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. And I know we can argue skill sets. Stafford's better than Cousins. I get it. But the Cousins' MO is tons of yards, not enough wins in big games. Can't win the big game. Shies away from the big moment in the spotlight. Throws more interceptions than touchdowns. 500 quarterback. Is it the system? Is it the teams that he was on? That's why I guess you hire Kevin O'Connell. And his answer was he brought in his staff, they looked at the film, and they said, that's the guy. I guess then they turn around and say, what? Let's give him another guaranteed year.
Give him 70 more
million. An insane amount of money. Guaranteed. Send the pen to the Hall of Fame because he keeps setting records for that sort of thing.
Man.
You like that?
He does.
Right? Captain Kirk, there he is, signing again. And you're like, okay, they're going down the same rabbit hole in Minnesota again.
Yeah.
Unless this guy comes in and brings a whole new attitude. I mean, Zimmer's attitude is we're running the freaking football. And if you start throwing it around, I'm going to hit you. Literally, I'm going to hit you like Buddy Ryan. I am going to, you know, I'm going to threaten to turn you into Kevin Gilbride right now. Yeah. Clearly, he didn't do that. But that's the vibe that you got, right?
Right.
A little bit.
Like, we're going to take Dalvin Cook, and if he doesn't touch it 90 times. Like,
what are we doing?
It's going to be a problem.
Why are we doing this? We're going to play defense. What's we're going to run it. And do not let that guy make another freaking mistake. Otherwise, we're going to throw down. And now you're going to have Kevin O'Connell is going to be like, okay, you're accurate. Let's ride it. I'm looking forward to seeing this for the Minnesota Vikings this year.
You think Kirk Cousins has a house with 12 bathrooms?
Look it up.
He could afford it.
I mean, it stinks. He's made a lot of money. I'm just wondering, like, what the bathrooms did.
I know this, Rich. Uh-huh. I was telling Chris, I'm on not a group chain, but I have 3 friends that are Viking fans, so I text them during the interview to be like, hey, your coach is on.
Yeah.
Throughout the years, all 3 of these guys have nothing to do with one another in different parts of the country. They are all opposed to Kirk Cousins as their quarterback.
I know they are.
And they're not happy right now when I sent them this.
I know they are. But let's see if Kevin O'Connell's got the answer. Yeah. If not, then move on. And you've got a guy who knows how to win, I guess, from where he just came. Arthur Smith of the Atlanta Falcons will be joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show, hour 3 on a busy football day.
By the way, on the bathroom subject.
Oh, wait, I figured I found it.
There's a house in Beverly Hills that has 30 bathrooms for 17 rooms.
Oh, well, that's a better ratio.
I'm explaining to you guys.
The hell is 17 that? Is that called the Beverly Hills Hotel?
No, 17 bedrooms and 30 bathrooms. And I'm explaining to you guys why. I started doing research last night when I got home. It's based on the room, not the bedroom. You guys have to look. Each room could theoretically have their own bathroom.
Okay.
So that's why they have 12. Like the dining room could have a bathroom attached.
No, I understand that.
And that's, I mean, it's not crazy that there's
We were just going bathroom. Yeah,
it was more the bedroom ratio. The lack of bedrooms than the bathrooms.
But there is a bathroom.
Let's be honest. Even what you just said, what is that, like a 42% hit rate of bedrooms to bathrooms?
Oh, this is insane.
This one is like it's 33%. Yeah. Like, that'll get you in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but every other Hall of Fame, you're not making it. So in the House Hall of Fame, you can't have a 33% hit rate. Like, one room per three bathrooms for every room. That's crazy talk. It's crazy talk.
Why would you spend all that money for that?
Just take one of those bathrooms and make another bedroom out of it.
All right, so I found this. Kirk Cousins, this is from 2017. Because
I'm sure the bathrooms are roomy enough.
Oh, they're a little.
Apparently, Kirk built a huge three-story... Lake Michigan.
Yes.
Like,
I'm sure it's beautiful.
Massive house.
Yes.
So it was five bedrooms. Let's see. I had it. Five bedrooms, two fireplaces. I think four bathrooms with a nursery attached.
Five bedrooms and only four bathrooms?
I think that's
weak.
See, you don't know
that's
your brother. You're giving me accurate information there.
That's weak.
They got to up the ratio. Yeah. Your bedroom to bathroom ratio, if you've got that much stretch.
Should we find out the bedroom to bathroom ratio for all 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL and have a ranking system? Like a power ranking, a bedroom to bathroom power ranking?
I got time.
When's the season start? September?
Brought to you by Zillow. Bedroom to bathroom power ranking, and we'll see how it actually works to the true power ranking,
phenomenal.
And see how this can actually.
See?
Maybe this is a better stat than wins for quarterbacks.
But also, though, guys, like,
so is Russell Wilson one because he's 3-1 bathroom to bedroom?
I think it's a terrible ratio. I don't think you can win with
he's
that ratio.
32. Oh, okay.
But he's number one on the list because he's who we're starting with.
Can't
win with that ratio because you're not getting enough sleep. Boy, you're peeing your head off, but you can't sleep.
Ha 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 ha!